Take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter number 27. Acts chapter number 27. I'm going to read about the Apostle Paul. I'm going to read about his time on a ship. I'm going to read a little bit about the storm that they encountered as they were sailing. But my intent had been, I felt like the Lord wanted me this week to preach on enduring and surviving the storms of life, and how those storms build our faith. But I read the chapter a couple of times before I narrowed in on just that part of the story, and the Lord gave me some things beyond that. We will talk a little bit about the storm, and I think that the reason the Holy Spirit drew me to that this week is because I realized that a lot of our folks in the past year have gone through some real storms of life. But I'm going to preach a message I've entitled The Voyage of a Lifetime, The Voyage of a Lifetime. We'll begin in verse number 13, read on down. If you would please stand for the reading of the Word of God at this time. Acts 27, verse number 13. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps and undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Heavenly Father, Lord, you help me as I preach through this message today, Lord, as we not just notice the storm, but as we, Lord, take a look at this journey. Lord, thank you, dear God, for the Apostle Paul. Thank you for this story. Thank you for the things that we can learn. And Lord, above all, I pray, dear God, that we'll be pointed to the one who got Paul through this time in his life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. Chapter 27 begins with Paul boarding a ship and then launching into a voyage. It ends in verse number 44 with him swimming to shore and every single person on that boat swimming or grabbing hold of a loose board, one way or another, getting to shore. So we see the beginning of the chapter where Paul sets out on a journey, at the end of that chapter where he is safely delivered after a terrible storm. Now there's a couple things I want to say before I get into this story, and I'm going to ask that you kind of stay with me today. You may have to listen a little more on purpose, especially during the first part of it. But as I begin to read down through these things, before I started the chapter, I wanted to settle some things about the Apostle Paul. You see, folks, sometimes God does send a storm into our lives, and it could be for a lot of different reasons. I've seen God send storms into people's lives in order to get them to turn to God, in order to get them to just receive Christ as their Savior. But folks, that is not the case here, because the one thing I can say about the Apostle Paul on chapter 27, verse number 1, we know for sure that he was a born-again Christian. He was saved. We know that because of what happened on the road to Damascus. Here, Paul, at that time in his life, was a very religious man. Matter of fact, he was esteemed for his position and the religion that he was a part of. He was looked up to, and he was pointed to as an example by those that followed that same religion. But you know what, folks? Let's not forget this. We can be religious and still lost.
Right.
You know, it was Jesus that sat down with Nicodemus, who was a very religious man, in John chapter number 3, and said to him, except a man be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so we know that Paul was saved that day. Why was he saved? Because that was the day that he realized that Jesus Christ was the one that was the sent one, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He also understood for the first time his sinfulness and Christ's holiness. And you know what he did? He turned from his sins that day, put his faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and was saved. So during this entire journey, the first thing I want to establish is this, that Paul was saved during this entire journey. Number two, Paul was in the will of God during this entire journey. Again, sometimes God sends a storm into a Christian's life because they have left the will of God. They've backslidden. They've got away from God. This, again, was not the case with the Apostle Paul. Matter of fact, the reason he was on this ship was because of his determination to do the will of God and preach the truth and stand for Jesus, even though it was an unpopular thing to do. So the voyage that we're going to follow here in a minute, the Apostle Paul was saved before he got on that ship and launched out. He was in the will of God before he got on that ship and launched out. Also, I want to point this out. During this journey, Paul experienced a wide spectrum of circumstances. And this is what's going to make this overview of this journey, I think, a bit fun for us. Because the reason I called the message the voyage of a lifetime is, if you'll start where Paul gets onto the ship until he's delivered at the end of this story, you'll just about cover every circumstance that you'll face in life. And I think it's almost like God took one journey on a ship with one of his chosen men and just said, let me kind of show you what you're going to face in the journey of your life, because I think it's just about all there. And then the last thing I want to say this, at the end of this journey, Paul arrived safely to God's final destination. And folks, you know what? We're going to face a lot of different things in our lives. But you know what? If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm not going to tell you that there's not going to be storms. I'm not going to tell you there's not going to be contrary winds. I'm not going to tell you that there's not going to be diversions. I'm not going to tell you, as we'll see in a minute, that you never have to change ships. I'm going to tell you this. If your faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ, at the end of this journey called life, you will end up in your final destination. You'll end up in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's just take a look at this overview of this journey. Now, I'm going to recount some things about my life. This will be kind of a sermon and a testimony. And I'll also use the illustration of other people's lives whom I've known. But I'd like you, as we take this journey, to maybe ask the Lord to help you see these different times in your life. And so several points and several stops along the way. Let's look, if you will, in verse number 2. The Bible says, and entering into a ship of, and I'm not even going to try to attempt the name that, to say that name, and entering into a ship, notice this, we launched. And then I thought to myself this, I wrote this, this moment in your life when you're saved and you're in the will of God, and you kind of launch out with a definite direction, a definite intent, and a definite plan. You know, young people, for most of your life growing up, you know, it's not launching out time. It's just kind of following mom and dad time. But, you know, there's going to be a point in each and every one of our lives where, as is mentioned when it comes to Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, where it talks about Moses coming to age. And you have to make some choices in life at that point in time in your life. There's going to be a time where you get into a ship and you launch out in a direction, the direction of God's will for your life. Now, sometimes that doesn't mean that you geographically change locations. Sometimes you're going to be right, maybe staying right where you were raised and right where you grew up. It doesn't mean necessarily that you have to go somewhere to experience the will of God. But the will of God starts when you get in that ship called the will of God for your life, and you're willing to launch out by faith. Okay, watch this. Young people, for a long time, you're kind of riding on mom and dad's coattails when it comes to this idea of staying in the will of God. And again, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about staying in the will of God. But you know, there's going to be a time, point in time where God's going to start dealing more and more directly with you as he directs you into his will for your life. And you know what? I couldn't help but think, you know, that time for me was right down here in front of that little house, that yellow house. And, you know, I graduated from college, or I'm sorry, from high school. And I prayed over God's will of what was next. And you know what? I had a little 1971 Ford Torino 500. And I opened the trunk and I loaded up things. And, you know, I didn't know what the entire path was. And I didn't know everything that was going to be on this voyage. I just knew this. It was time to enter in the ship and it was time to launch. And let me just say, young people, when you get to that place in your life where all of a sudden now you can make the decisions and you can begin to choose the will of God. And can I just say this? Get in the right ship. Stick with Jesus. Stay true to him. Stay close to him. Let him direct your life. And don't be fearful. Like I said, it doesn't always mean that you're leaving, but just make sure that whatever you do the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I see, first of all, Paul, by the way, remember, who's already saved, who is in the will of God, wants the will of God. We see him get in the ship and say, this is a time to launch into this part of the journey of God's will. So we see him launching out with intent. Then I read verse number 3, and I read this portion of scripture, and I was so blessed by it. The Bible says, and the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And I couldn't help but think about, on this voyage called life, the many times that God just allows us the refreshment of dear friends that we meet on the voyage of life. And it just seems like, as I broke down my voyage of life, I'm talking about starting all the way back as a child, I'm talking about my growing up here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church, I'm talking about having left here during my Bible college days and the different things that happened after that. It just seems like I can go to any and every part of my life, and it seems like as long as I was in the will of God, God was connecting me with people that would become friends for a lifetime. And I thought about that, and I thought, so I wrote down this refreshing stops. Okay, there's launching out with the intent, with an intent to follow the will of God. And then there's the refreshing stops along the way. Friends we meet along the way. Remember Dad starting this church in 1973. And I'd have been 12 years old, or just about to turn 12, when Dad started the church. Just a month or two away from 12 years of age. And you know what? From 1973 to 1979, this was one of those refreshing places in my life. I think about the people that I was in the youth group with. I think about how we've maintained friendships with some of those folks for years and years and years. I think about Jack and Penny Gordon as the youth leaders that God brought into our life during that time and the impact that they made on my life. I think about the privilege and honor of being in a church where my dad was the pastor. And then I begin to go down through and think about the different men who God brought to this church, men that a young man could look up to. And I would say this to you young people. I understand the natural inclination is to build friendships amongst your peers. And it seems like whoever's in your age group, sometimes you have the most in common with. But I would think it would be a mistake to limit my friendships to just my peer group, just to my age. Because I think young people, young ladies, if I was you, I would seek friendships with older godly women. You know what? Who can have an influence on you, who can give you advice and share things with you and help you with some of the questions that, by the way, your peers haven't faced, some of the situations they haven't faced, some of the decisions they haven't gotten to make. And, you know, you hear me go down through the list where I talk about, you know, the influence that Charles English had on my life and the influence that Bo Eichelman had on my life and the influence that Don Mowry had on my life. And I hate starting naming names because there's so many and I'll miss some, and I don't mean to, but you know, I just think of, it wasn't any one person that did everything, but it was a lot of people that got brought in that did little things. And I thought about this voyage of life. I know I turned 60 and I hope I'm not starting to sound like an old man when I'm preaching, but as I look back over my life, to the journey this far, and I am smart enough and can do enough math to know that there's more of the journey done than is ahead. I can figure that much, Hal. But you know, one of the things that I just thank the Lord for is the refreshment of friends along the way. And as I went off into my Bible college years, and you know what, again, I made friendships during those years, and I keep those friendships to this day. Many of those friendships have endured the test of time. Some of the people that I met in Bible college, I literally stay in touch with on a regular basis, if not once a week, once every couple weeks. We text or we'll call or we'll share prayer requests. And, you know, don't miss, one of the best parts about the will of God is the people that are also traveling that same journey. They're also wanting to do God's will, and those friendships that you build along the way. You know, I thought about the time that God had us go for the little part of our voyage where we went to Brazil, Indiana, was there for 7 years. And I look out and see Estelle and Anna Sanders here. And Brother Estelle and Sister Anna, you have no idea the influence and the encouragement that you were to me and my wife during those times, this time in my life. And, you know, the idea that they're now members here and have been for these many years, I don't say it enough, I don't tell you enough, but just you walking in the door just blesses this preacher, you know. And it was just during that time of my life where God brought those people that brought refreshment. And, you know, Brian Morris came into that church as a teenager. Yes, yes, he once was a teenager. I should write a book called The Teenage Years of Brian Morris. That's the next book I should write. And, man, that would be exciting. Much different than The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ. But you know, we interacted in that time, and his family's life touched our family's life. Our family's life touched his family's life. And then years later, we're wandering around the back roads over near somewhere out there near Coal City somewhere and run into them again and rekindle friendships. And I think about that first trip that y'all stepped out by faith and hauled a bunch of us out to the reservation and all of that. And you know, folks, listen to me. I just want to share something with you. Cherish the right kind of friendships. I watch people sometimes just throw friendships away flippantly, and I think to myself, they don't realize how rare, what a rare and precious thing true friends are. And you know what? I was thinking about that as I went down through here. All right, I got to keep going because we got a long way. We got to get across this ocean. All right, launching out with intent, refreshing stops along the way. Refreshing friendships. And then look at, if you will, at verse number 4. When we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus. Why? Because the winds were contrary. And I want to say this, folks, along the way, as you're taking your journey, your lifetime journey, there's going to be times when your pathway is redirected due to contrary winds. You know what? Paul's saved, and there were still contrary winds. Paul was in the will of God, and there's still contrary winds. This is not the original way they planned to go. That's why it's mentioned that they had to sail under Crete because of the contrary winds. In other words, we intended to go this way, but these winds were blowing in the wrong direction. We couldn't go that way. And folks, can I say this? There's going to be times when God redirects the direction of your life. You know, I remember as a 17, 18-year-old, 19-year-old, I thought I had it all figured, all planned, every step of the journey, you know. And I love to talk to young people and say, so what are you going to do after high school? And I love the ones that have a plan. By the way, he did launch with an intent. He did at least have a direction he was heading. He was going somewhere. I don't know if there's anything more discouraging than talking to an 18-year-old and say, so what's next? I don't know. Well, you better start knowing it's time. This thing called life's about to get real, you know. And so even though we have a direction, you see, you talk to somebody, boy, they've got every step, and they know where they're going to be in 3 years from now, and 5 years from now, and 7 years from now, and 10 years from now. And us that are older, we listen to their plans, and we smile, and we shake our head. And we don't even have the heart to burst their bubble, okay? Because I doubt if there's too many people that are my age or in that category that would stand up now and say, preacher, you know what? Every phase and every direction, every course of my life that I thought the way it was going to be when I was young has come to pass. You know, sometimes the Lord redirects us. Folks, listen to me. Just because a wind seems to be blowing the wrong direction, don't get discouraged. Sometimes it could just be God changing the direction of your life. And hey, you know what? In the end, don't we want to do God's will? And you know, God's will is a wonderful thing, but also it's a fluid thing. What do you mean? It means that God is not going to always give you his will long-term, multi-steps. I love that verse that says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I think the word of God and the will of God a lot of times is just revealed to us in the next couple steps. Lord, I want to know what you want me to do a year from now. And he said, why don't you just do what you know that I want you to do today. And that's called walking by faith. You know, it's a wonderful thing. By the way, young people, it's an exciting thing to launch out to the will of God and not even know where that's going to lead. I can't help but think about Abraham, whom God told him. He said, pack your bags. Go tell Sarah that I need you to go. Oh, Lord, where am I going? To a country that I will show thee. Now, that's a definite destination. To a country that I will show thee. Lord, I got to go home and talk to the wife about moving. Could you be a little more specific? You know, ladies like details. Have you figured that out? They want details. They want to know what, when. They want to know where. They want to know, how and why. And a lot of times it's, I think we're kind of supposed to go that way. And that's kind of the way we, as Christians, are honestly supposed to live our lives. You know, so we see this launching with an intent. We see the refreshing stops and the friendships. And even if it seems like one of these contrary winds are blowing and you end up in a place you didn't anticipate being at, maybe it's because there's another one of those refreshing friends, relationships that God wants you to have. And you know what? The detour for the rest of your life will be worth that person. Maybe it's because there's somebody there that God wants you to win to Christ. I didn't plan on going there, but you know what? Next thing I know, there I am. Well, why am I here, God? Because I had a different plan. And God says, forget about your plan. Just let me lead you. Let me guide you. Just don't know what the Lord's going to do or how he's going to do it. So redirection due to contrary winds. Sometimes circumstances will alter our course. And then look in verse 5 and 6. We see again something else happening. When we had sailed over the Sea of Cilicia, and I'm not going to pronounce these things. And verse 6, then there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. Now, wait a minute, what happened? They took a ship up to this point in the journey. Now what happens? That ship took you as far as it's going. And guess what? It puts you out on the shore. And it's time to get on another ship. So isn't it interesting that God sometimes has you in life change ships? Because very seldom does one ship take you all the way to the finish line. And I begin to break this down, and I'll bet you everybody in here, as I mentioned that, begin to start thinking back to the different times in your life where God just had you get on a different ship for a while. Go a different direction. You know, like I said, hey, you know what? It started at the Rock Run Baptist Church where I got saved. And you know what? My mom and dad attended there for a while. I want you to listen to what I'm going to say. It was American Baptist Church in many ways. It was a church that had the gospel. We're thankful for that. Had some basic teachings that my mom and dad needed. But you know what? Soon after my mom and dad got saved, the pastor was replaced by someone else. And there was, listen, I believe with all my heart that God had that church there to see my family saved and to take us to a certain point in the will of God. But you know what? That ship had taken us as far as we could go. And you know what? Sometimes over the course, I think many of you can relate to what I'm saying right now. You know, sometimes there's those times in life where you say, my dad said, we're going to go to Trinity Baptist Church. From there, it was, we're going to Providence Baptist Church because that's where God's opened the door for me to be a pastor. And you know what? Each of those ships took us farther along the destination in the will of God. And then eventually brought my mom and dad to Midland, Indiana, to Bob Swaby's living room where he founded the Blessed Oak Baptist Church. And folks, listen to me. There's people that'll be born in this church, and it's God's will for you to stay in this church and raise your family in this church. And you know what? Can I say this? That's a blessed thing. You know, I watch some preachers. I call them tumbleweeds. And, you know, it just seems like they can never settle anywhere. I want to say this. Sometimes it is necessary to change ships, but I wonder how many times we're jumping ship when it really wasn't within the will of God. And I watch preachers that just seems like they can't settle in, they can't settle in, they can't settle in. And, you know, they're 3 years here, 4 years here, 2 years there, 7 years there, 4 years there. I mean, I could name names if I could tell you that I'm not exaggerating that at all. But and maybe that is God's will. Hey, you know what? I don't know. But I think, boy, you know what? It sure has been nice for Jerry Ross and Cheryl Ross to come here in 1994. Yeah, we had to take a few ships to get here. And sometimes you have to take a few ships to get to the kind of what is God's for you, God's final destination. But it sure has been good. Now we're sitting around, we're watching the teenagers that I inherited 1994, 95, 96. Watching your teenagers come into the youth group at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I do think that there's something about longevity. There's something about the strength of this church because of folks settling in generationally and just saying this is where God wants us to be. Isn't it interesting? Watch this. It's not right or wrong. It's different for everybody. And you know what? I was here for a while, grew up here for a while. And then you know what? I needed to take another ship for a while. I needed to go to Bible college and get on that ship and take it as far as it needed to take me in the will of God. And then it was time to get on the ship going to Brazil, Indiana. And you know what? I stayed on that ship for as long as I felt like it was the will of God. And then I'm on this ship now and it's been blessing. You know, as you look back, don't you see everything that's happening in this voyage is kind of microcosm of all of our lives, where God is just guiding and directing. And we see in verse 5 and 6, Paul changing ships. And then I want to show you verse 7 because, boy, I could relate to this. And then it says in verse 7, okay, he's on a different ship, but notice what happens. And when he had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmon. Now, here we see in this phase of the journey what I call the frustratingly slow sailing days. Okay? Think about that. He got on this new ship and he said, all right, I'm on a new ship. It's going to take me in the direction I need to go. And they get out there. And you understand, folks, there wasn't any starting up the boat, the power motor on the boat. There wasn't a turning the key. There wasn't starting up the diesel engines on the ship. You know what? Where they went and how they went? Depending on how the wind blew. And if you wanted to go that direction and the wind was blowing this direction, you know what you did? You didn't go anywhere for a while. Or if it was just slightly blowing that direction or not much breeze at all, when it did blow, it's blowing the right direction, but it's just slowly taking you and it's like, you know, you started that morning and you could see that part of the shore right there. And by the end of the day, you're looking back a little bit, but you can still see that that's not what you want to do. That's not our inclination. That's not our will. You know, I want to get to where I'm going. Okay? And I want to get there in a timely fashion. Now, folks, let's just take a look at the voyage of our lives and realize that there's times that God just slows the process down. You know, he just kind of just puts you in a place where the wind doesn't blow much. And sometimes that's frustrating because, again, we're an impatient people. But I couldn't help but think as I read this part about Romans chapter 5 and what we studied in Sunday school, verse 3 and 5, through 5, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. And folks, I remember and think back the different phases of the voyage of my life. You know, I change ships and I get on the Bible college ship for a while. And you know what? For the first couple of years, I'm making good time. Then it just seems like I go into a part of the journey where it just gets frustratingly slow. And the winds don't seem to be blowing my way. Am I making some progress? Yes. Am I making progress at the rate I want to make progress? No. And sometimes that can be very frustrating. You know, all of a sudden I'm there 4 years, okay? And the guys that came the same time as I do are graduating, and guess what? I'm not done yet. And I begin to question a lot of things, and I go back my 5th year, my 6th year, and I'm saying, Lord, you know what? This isn't falling. This isn't happening on my timetable. And Lord, I don't know why the winds aren't blowing my direction. I don't know why it just seems like that there's so many setbacks, and about the time I seem like I'm making ground, then I lose ground. And folks, can I say this? This is part of God's plan in your life, because there's certain things that need to come into our life that just mature us, that just allows us to build patience, to know how to wait on the Lord, to understand that God may be holding up something for a reason, for a purpose, that he's not going to reveal to us right away. And you know, I was there for going into my 6th year at Bible college, okay? And you know what? Again, even within the bus ministry there, I changed ships for a while. And you know what? They made me a division leader. And that kind of slowed everything down because the amount of responsibility went with it. And even though it was a blessed thing, an exciting thing, it still slowed the voyage down. And then another change within the bus ministry, and I was assigned a different route. And folks, you realize this? Let me help you with something. As I'm going into my, and I was there 8 years. I was actually in school for 7 years before I graduated. But you know, going into my 7th year, now me and my wife are married, and I'm trying to finish up and get to the finish line. It just seems like the last 2 or 3 years been so frustratingly, I didn't come here to stay here. I come here to prepare so I could go do something. I can't get out of here. Watch this. The phone rings last Tuesday morning. I'm driving to the airport to fly out to Charlotte so that I can go spend a few days teaching and preaching at the Ambassador Baptist College. I'm driving to the airport and my cell phone rings. And I look down and see the name of Mike and Lydia Lemma. And I answer the phone, put it on speaker so that I can drive. And I said, what's going on? And it's Lydia and Mike, and they're on the phone. And we haven't talked to you for a while, so we were sitting here eating breakfast saying, why doesn't Pastor Jerry love us enough to call us? It's exactly what they said, exactly what they said. I said, guilty as charged. All right. I love you enough to listen to you once you did call me, so what do you want? And we had a conversation for about 20, 30 minutes, you know. They're down in Mexico, you know, missionaries now for these many years, over 30 years. I'd have to go back and figure it up. And you know what? Started 7 different churches. I've seen, and I'm not exaggerating, I've seen thousands and thousands. That little girl and that guy she married will win more people to Christ and have won more people to Christ than I even have a hope of winning in my lifetime. Now, wait a minute. Why didn't I graduate at the 4th year? Why didn't I graduate at the 5th year? Well, God came to me on graduation out of my 4th year and said, well, let me explain why I'm going to keep you here for a while. If you just hang in there 2 or 3 years from now, you're going to be wandering down Holman Street. You're going to run into this little 14-year-old girl. And she's going to need you and your wife at a key time in her life. And by the way, there are thousands of people in Mexico that need Jesus Christ. And you're going to have to get that girl through some tough years so that she ends up where... Listen, folks, God's not nearly as worried about the destination as we are. He's just not. We're all focused on where we're trying to get to. And God's all focused on what he wants us to accomplish as we're going. And sometimes, I hope this is a help to you. Sometimes God's going to tap the brakes. Sometimes he's going to pull the car over on the side. Sometimes the car is going to break down. We're about to see the car break down. Matter of fact, the car is going to break apart here in just a minute. What I'm saying is this. You know what? Are you saved? Because Paul was. All right. Have you surrendered to the will of God for your life? Best of your ability, do you have a heart that wants to serve the Lord? Then you know what? Get on the ship and let the Lord control the winds. Because he's a lot better at knowing where we're supposed to go, how we're supposed to go, when we're supposed to go and what we're supposed to do than we could ever try to dream up in a million years. And so we see then these frustratingly slow sailing days in verse number 7. Look at verse number 8. Well, praise the Lord. After that time of frustration, we come to a place called the Fair Havens. Isn't this neat? Aren't you glad for the Fair Havens? Not where Travis is going to college. I'm talking about the Fair Havens of Acts chapter 27, verse 8. And hardly passing it, came into a place which is called the Fair Havens. Now think about that. You know, a lot of times after God has taken us through some things that are excruciatingly hard, or some things that we just don't understand, or some things that go against our timeline, again, there was that refreshing stop where there were the friends. What do we have here? You know what? We have a port. We have a harbor. We have a place called the Fair Havens. And you know what? I want to tell you, mingled in to all of the different things that come with your life will be these Fair Havens. And there's, if you look back on your life, you know, I can just find, you know, time frames where God just kind of for a while parked us, protected us in a good place, in a helpful place. And these are times where the Lord just allows you to have times of rest and times of spiritual recuperation, times where some things are restored, some things are fixed. Okay, while they're in port, you know what? They can do some repairs on the boat. Maybe, but preacher, it doesn't seem like we're getting anywhere. Sometimes, you know what? You need to pull over and stop. By the way, instead of looking at your watch, look at the palm trees. It's the Fair Havens. Get off the boat. Find a little restaurant. It's the Fair Havens. Get some extra sleep. It's the Fair Havens. Hey, folks, God's going to give you these places and times in your life. And I think if all of us are honest, we can look back and say, look, yeah, the Lord took us at times through some contrary winds, and sometimes there were some setbacks. But there's also been just those times where God just kind of puts a bubble around us for a while and just says, I need you to kind of just stay here. Let me care for you. Let me help you. I want to say this, and I will share this testimony that's been shared with me many times. There's been different families on the voyage of their life, port here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and it was not God's will for them to stay here for the rest of their lives. But to this day, they call me, they text me, they jump online and listen to our services. I got to tell you this, I was, they'll probably listen to this message when I was down in North Carolina this weekend. I was talking to one of the faculty members because I wasn't sure where I was going to go to church on Wednesday night. And there's several good churches in the area there. And one of the faculty members walked up to me and said, you know, there's a couple that goes to our church that used to be a member of your church. I said, what? Yeah, Fred and Christy Poet attend our church. I said, I know where I'm going to church on Wednesday night. I said, can you give me their phone number? And I got their phone number and I called Brother Fred up and I said, hey, I'm like less than 10 miles away from you. I said, my days are pretty full with teaching and preaching, but I said, Wednesday night, I'd like to attend church with you. And he said, man, we would love that. I said, well, why don't we do something else? I said, what do you guys like to eat? I said, I'll go by and pick up some food, and maybe you mind if I come by the house, or I'll take you out to a restaurant. He said, no, we just soon eat here. And they told me what salad to get them at Wendy's, you know. One of them wanted the chicken Parmesan? No, something like that. Is it Parmesan? Chicken Parmesan? The other one wanted the chicken. Anyway, two chicken salads, you know. And they're screaming it at the screen right now, you know, when they listen to this later on. And then I got, come on, if you're going to go to Wendy's, you got to get some chili, don't you? I mean, come on. You don't like Wendy's chili? Are you serious? Wendy's chili and a baked potato. I know you're all hungry right now, so I'm doing this on purpose, all right? Baked potato with cheese and sour cream melting, I mean dripping all off of it. Bacon bits on top, hallelujah. I think we're done, let's pray. And I'm hungry now. Shouldn't start talking about it. But you know what? I went over to their house, and we sat there for probably an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and a half, and we just talked about what's going on with their kids' life, what's going on in the church they're in, and talked a lot about memories of Blessed Hope Baptist Church and different things. You may not remember this, but Brother Poet, for a short amount of time before they decided they were going to move down to be near their grandkids, come on, and their daughters, I believe with all my heart, absolutely perfectly in the will of God. But actually, when I first became pastor here, I needed a part-time guy to just help me follow up on visits, knock doors, you know, do things like that. And we hired Fred Poet for like 15, 20 hours a week, and he worked here for a year or more, I think, and did a great job. Just Everett just come in, preacher, what do you need me to tackle this week? And just gave him little things to do and accomplish, and I could trust him. He could stand behind the pulpit. He always did a good job, always lifted up the Lord, always preached the word of God. Just, folks, you want to hear what I'm saying? He told me this. He said, every single night of our lives, before we go to bed, we pray for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Whew, I don't know about you, that's a good feeling. To know that there's people that, you know what, their ship came in for a while. This was a time of fair havens for their life. And then you know what? God's will was, the voyage was somewhere else. And you know what? I understand it's going to happen. I don't have a problem with that. Just pray for us every night before you go to bed if you're going to leave. You know, if you're going to do that, just pray for us. You know? And I just wanted to share that with you because it was so neat to talk to them. Well, preacher, that wasn't all there was. Now, look at verse 9 through 11. All of a sudden now, the Fair Havens was so comfortable they stayed there too long. And I'm not going to say that, preach on that, but be careful about staying too long in the Fair Havens. Sometimes God gives you a break and we want to live on break the rest of our life. There's the will of God. There's the voyage. Keep going towards the will of God. Then there's this unwanted and unwise voyage that we find in verse 9 through 11 where they get ready to go. And Paul warns them in verse 10, "Sirs, I perceive that this journey will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the landing and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things were spoken of by Paul." Folks, listen to me. There's times where we must make part of the journey that we would not have wished to make. A part of the journey that is not of our own choosing. I want to say this. Other people's decisions sometimes dictate how our voyage is going to go. And this part of it, if Paul had been listened to, he wouldn't have had to experience this next phase, and neither would anybody else on that ship. And I want you to understand, you can be saved. Can I say this again? Saved in the will of God, wanting to go to the right place, the right destination, following God's will, and someone in your life can make a decision that makes you take a part of a voyage that you'd rather not. And that's what happened in Paul's life. Look right up here. God wasn't surprised by it. God knew it. It's part of God's permissive will for your life. Don't miss what he wants you to learn, even in the parts of the voyage that sometimes you wish you didn't have to take. And by the way, isn't it interesting? It was this part of the voyage that led him into this, what I call a storm of a lifetime. We're talking about the voyage of life. I think everybody here will go through one storm. Look, you're going to go through a lot of storms. Storms are going to come. Contrary winds are going to come. Rain's going to come. But I believe everybody in this room either has or will go through what I call the storm of a lifetime. And you know what? That storm's like not like anything else you've ever seen before. And it's going to be so easy when that ship is being wrecked. And literally, Paul stood, please listen, on the deck of a ship that was being destroyed right under his feet. But you know what, folks? Excuse me. God didn't show up and talk to Paul at the Fair Havens. Come on. He didn't show up and talk to Paul during the times of refreshment. You know when God showed up and was the most powerful in Paul's life? Is when he was standing on a ship that was being destroyed underneath him. And God said, "Paul, don't worry about it. This also is part of your journey. And I want to tell you something. You're going to be okay. And everybody on the ship is going to be okay. Okay? Now you go up to the deck of the ship and you get everybody's attention. You tell them, I said everything's going to be okay. You know what Paul did? He walked up to that ship, got everybody to stop doing what they're doing, gathered them around and said, listen, the angel of the Lord appeared to me last night. There's not going to be one life that's lost on this ship. And then I love this because he stood up and looked them all in the eye and he said this, I believe God. I believe God. Hey, it's easy to believe God in the fair havens. Come on, it's easy to believe God when you're launching out and you've got it all planned and figured out. But all of a sudden, where you are, where you didn't even want to go, experiencing the storm of a lifetime, I think that's when you're going to find God in a way you never found him before. Amen. Some of you are going through that right now. Some of you say, preacher, I couldn't even share it. I could not stand up and talk about it, but I know what you're talking about. I know what the storm of my life has been. And I don't know what's ahead. You know, I think about, and I think I know what the storm of my life was, but can I say this? My life's not over. And God may ask me to go through something else that makes what I thought was the storm of my life seem like a spring shower. Here's what you got to decide. Are you going to waste the storm of your life? Or are you going to allow God to reveal himself to you in a way he never has before through the storm of your life? And what I've watched this, these type of storms that I'm talking about, they'll either push people to be better or they'll push people to be bitter. And honestly, that has nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with whether or not you believe God. When I'm going through the storm of a lifetime, I got to ask some questions. Number one, am I saved? Yes, I am. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Rock Run Baptist Church. Fell under Holy Spirit conviction. Knew I was a sinner. Hopeless, lost without Christ. Found out Jesus died on the cross for my sins. For my sins was buried and rose again. And all I've got to do is turn to him in faith and accept the grace of God. The grace that sent Jesus to die for me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's how simple the gospel is. Okay, I'm saved. Am I wanting to do the will of God? Am I in the will of God? Yes. Then this must be part of the will of God. Let me say it again. Then this must be part of the will of God. And if this is part of the will of God, then I'm going to look for him. I'm going to listen for him. Because you know what? It's when you're in the storm of a lifetime that you not only have a chance to meet God in a way you've never met him, but you have a chance to minister people in a way you've never ministered to them before. Because Paul focused his attention not on his fears or what he was going through, but he took the faith that God gave him and had him walk up on that deck and quiet the fears of everybody around him. Sometimes people ask me, preacher, how do you get through these storms of a lifetime? I think one of the best things I can leave you with, and we're done, is this. Realize you're not the only one going through that storm of a lifetime. Other people are being affected by the same storm. And focus your energies and your attention on taking care of other people going through it with you. And that's what Paul did. And you know what it'll do? It'll help you get through it too. Talking about a voyage of a lifetime. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for what we were able to cover this morning. And Lord, there's more. Lord, I pray, dear God, in the days ahead, especially for those who need this chapter, that they'll take the time to read it. Remember back through the different things. Paul ended up at the end of this journey exactly where you wanted him to be. There's that wonderful arrival at Rome, eventual arrival at Rome. Yes, a ship was destroyed, but another ship was there to get on to finish the journey. There were these wonderful 2 years where instead of being in prison, Paul's allowed to live in a house, a hired house. And for 2 years, I got to thinking about that, 2 years. You know what? People came and went, came and went, came and went. He basically, every day for 2 years, ministered to Christians in Rome, won people to Christ. Couldn't help but think later how many that was won there in Rome, Italy. How many was won and influenced by Paul, ended up heading over farther into Europe, and the gospel spread from there and eventually to England and eventually to America. And Lord, here was a man that had to go through some storms, but you were with him. You got him to his final destination. He was able to achieve what you wanted him to achieve, and when his time was done, you took him home. And I don't know what any of us could ask for that would be better than that. Lord, help us, dear God, as we each now pause, take a moment to examine our own heart, our own lives. Help us to answer some questions. Am I really saved? If I died right now, do I know for sure I'd go to heaven? Have I trusted Jesus Christ as my only hope for heaven? Am I in the will of God? Do I want the will of God? Am I looking for the ship that's heading towards the will of God? Am I willing to get on it? Am I willing to trust the Lord? Lord, I pray, dear God, if we can answer yes to those two questions, then we can also just trust you for the journey. I pray these things in Jesus' name.